Welcome to The Ether. Today is Wednesday, February 16th, 2022. This episode of The Ether is brought to you by Talus. Talus Protocol is the NFT platform for independent artists on Terra. Talus helps to provide artists with the tools and resources needed to transition from traditional art into the NFT world. With their V1 launch coming soon, Talus will be the place to see real-world art reflected on Terra. Be sure to join their Telegram and follow Talus on Twitter for updates on their roadmap, validator, and other Talus news. Find your next favorite artist on talus.art. This episode of The Ether is also brought to you by WeFund. WeFund is a community crowdfunding cross-chain incubator on Terra, and it's the first launchpad that implements a milestone funding release system to protect investors. All money raised for projects is deposited in Anchor Protocol, and it's refundable, and all decisions are based on community voting power. WeFund is community-focused and designed to be a user-friendly experience for both project creators and investors. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the Telegram for more information. Links are in the show notes and check them out online at WeFund.app. TerraSpaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. Today on The Ether, Cosm Wasm on the Cosmos Hub, a fireside chat. Let's take a listen.
All right, we've got Zachy, Sam, and Ethan Frey. Welcome.
Wait, where's Frey? Waiting on...
Frey is the real Interchain. Will the real Interchain please stand up?
I'm here. You got me.
I was expecting you to be Azul Marino on Twitter.
Who's Azo what?
That's been like a Fry's handle for a long time. Azul Marino.
Oh, right. Of course.
On a lot of things.
It was my personal Telegram name because I Telegram ages before I even got in crypto. Or crypto got Telegram, I guess. So yeah, that was like a Telegram name from like 2013. And somehow it ended up everywhere in Telegram.
Yeah, it also still says region network in parentheses, Ethan.
Not anymore. I guess your thing's cached somehow. It doesn't say anymore.
Oh, really? Strange. All right. So we're still waiting on a couple people from Lido. We've got Kai here. Welcome, Kai.
Hey. Hope you hear me well.
And here's Bad Bob. Awesome. So I know Crypto Cedar last minute dropped out. He's getting on an airplane. And Crisco says he's going to be about 15 minutes late. But otherwise, we've got everybody here. Could also wait another minute or two for more people to join before we really kick off the discussion. Is the Muzak coming through all right for everybody?
Sounds great.
Most important part. I also shared ahead of time this forum post with some context and some questions I thought we could use to sort of structure the conversation. Did everybody get a chance to take a look at that?
I have it open right now.
Most importantly, I think at the beginning, I linked to the first forum post from the first Cosm Wasm Hub proposal that Ethan Frey, who's on the call, made last May 2020, a proposal that was passed. And I think there's some interesting discussion in there about what that proposal was for and what that proposal was not for. And I think that that actually affected how the vote actually went when it sort of confirmed that it was a very specific set of things being voted on and not a signaling proposal plus an upgrade proposal plus a funding proposal. But I'm getting ahead of myself.
Come a long way since this proposal 2 years ago.
Well, thank you, Zach, for helping that together. I had no idea how to get anything to work in governance. You definitely showed me how governance worked, how to get on, you know, speak to people, how to forward work, and all that stuff. Thank you, Zach, for that one.
You're a little garbled for me, Ethan. Is that true of anybody?
Yeah.
Anybody else?
Also.
Same.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because you have this is your Twitter phone. Is that right, Ethan?
Yeah, I got a Twitter phone. It wouldn't even let me install another phone. I was going to install and delete it. But yeah. Does it sound better now?
It does, actually.
Okay, I just took it off the table. I'm holding my hands now.
Nice.
I'm actually quite annoyed that Twitter Spaces not working desktop. It was like, I said, okay, install it. I hooked up the Cosmos account on my desktop, and then it still wouldn't let me talk. So I missed an Osmosis call because of that one. And finally, said, you have to install it on your phone and anyway, get your own account and all that stuff.
I ran into the same problem the first time I tried doing this. Wild new world.
Make a proper app then. You know, Twitter is money. They can do it. They can build a desktop app.
I'm sure it's coming. Where's Tess? We should get her on this question.
No excuse.
They're also not showing whether or not people have certified NFTs on the current view. I'm looking at you, Zaki. Your certified NFT is now a circle like everyone else. Cool. Maybe we can begin with a quick round of introductions, and then it'd be good to sort of set some context, just some basics about what CosmWASM is, what CosmWASM isn't, and then maybe a little bit of historical information about what is the history of CosmWASM, the history of CosmWASM on the hub as a topic, and sort of that original proposal before we get into the questions that I listed sort of at the bottom of this forum proposal. How does that sound as a format to everyone?
Sounds great.
Awesome. Maybe we begin with Lido. I feel like the other people are more familiar with some people on this call, but it'd be great to kick things off with getting to know Kai and Andre. Andre, would you like to go first?
Yeah, welcome. Sure. So I'm Andre. I'm from Lido. I am a lead developer in Lido's Cosmos team. And we're working on a liquid staking solution for the Cosmos Hub, and thus we're very interested in having CosmWASM on Cosmos Hub. Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks for joining. Kai, would you like to go?
Yeah, my name is Kai. I'm the product lead of the Lido Cosmos team. And yeah, I think the other things are covered by Andrew. So yeah, we want to build the liquid stake solution for Cosmos, and yeah, that's why we're interested in CosmWASM Hub.
Oh shit, I think my mic was off. I was going to say, maybe Zaki, you want to introduce yourself next, since you've been working on liquid staking work, and you can give a little bit of context to that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I have a multiple touch points with the CosmWASM project. What are all my points of view? I made some suggestions, I had been doing some research into how to integrate WebAssembly into the Cosmos SDK. And so back when in 2019 at the Interchain Hackathon, when the initial sort of ideation, I was like, here are all my research, here's an approach I think would work. And then Confio and Fry and ran with it and has turned it into something more than I could have ever imagined. And then I was the one who made the governance proposal originally for the community funding for CosmWASM on the Cosmos Hub. I thought that CosmWASM was very important to the future of Cosmos. And I think that vision has been validated as well. I proposed back at that same hackathon how important that I thought that liquid staking was to the future of the proof of stake ecosystem and to the Cosmos ecosystem. I gave a talk called Staking is DeFi and was really talking about the importance of integrating liquid staking with the emergence of DeFi back in 2019. And then along the way, we went and created all of, you know, so then got very distracted by shipping IBC and Stargate and Sommelier. And then with the generous support of the Interchain Foundation, Occlusion has been working on a liquid staking module that is basically a seamless add-in to the, it's sort of the minimalist add-in to the Cosmos SDK that enables liquid staking, but it has this, it leaves a piece of the design as kind of out of scope, which is how do you create a fungible sort of asset that can be, it's like a set of building blocks essentially that you can use to build an asset that would be useful in DeFi, but it doesn't actually create the asset that would be useful in DeFi. And so we have been Occlusion doesn't currently intend to build such an asset. So we have been working with Lido and Quicksilver, and we are open to working with anyone else to make sure that our liquid staking module meets their requirements. But one of the other things that is really sort of a priority and important to me is I think that Atom should be the center of liquid staking activity, not just for the Cosmos Hub, but for the wider Interchain. One of the things that I think is really important is that we don't release the liquid staking module without a solution for how Atom is going to actually be central to the emergence of various liquid staking protocols for Cosmos.
That's great. Thank you very much, Jackie. Sam, do you want to give yourself an introduction? I feel like you're a well-guarded secret in our ecosystem. Step on up.
Secret weapon. I'm Sam Hart. I'm on the board of management at the Interchain Foundation, which means that I run the grants program, do investments for ICF, but just also a lot of behind the scenes, like coordination and making sure that teams are talking to each other and making sure that work's scoped and that, the Cosmos Hub is right at the center of that. And Billy and I work super closely, literally live right across the street from one another.
Quit doxing us.
I guess the other relevant thing here is, it's important for me to know kind of the community sentiment and, strategic direction so that we can allocate resources properly. But one of my many things that I'm doing is also working on the governance module and groups module, which, as we'll see later, is relevant to this conversation.
Cool. And last but definitely not least, Ethan Frey, welcome. Do you want to give a little bit of an intro, a little bit of the background of your work in the Cosmos space, as well as kind of maybe a bit of the origin story for Cosmosm itself?
Sure. Yeah, I started, I think I was the first engineer besides Jay and Bucky in Cosmos. I started January 1st, 2017. Actually, I met them and started hacking Tendermint, and they kind of found me doing some PRs on Tendermint because I was trying to do a side project back in Tendermint 0.6 or something. There's no SDK. I was building my own app from scratch and stuff. So I was there for a while and worked a lot on IBC, except the Cosmos SDK. A lot of the what you see now kind of came from a lot of the direction I gave to it, something called BaseApp. And it evolved 100 ways beyond that. But yeah, I kind of changed the whole framework into some sort of module pattern. I was doing that for a while. I went off, I worked at IOV for a while, built out another framework called Weave. And since really into IBC, really into IBC, I would say I'm an IBC maximalist. Someone said that, I said that's totally true. I saw that when I met Jade November 2016, he showed me IBC and I'm like, this is the future, no question. So, I mean, yeah, I believe IBC 100%. So Cosmosm came up in this, a hackathon and met a bunch of really cool people from a bunch of things. It was really amazing, the Interchain Foundation's conversations. That was a really, really cool event. And met all these heads of all these projects for the first time after the hub launched. And everyone's there. It was amazing. And I ended up just, sitting at the table drinking beers. And there was, Aaron from Regen and Jehan from Althea, and now he's Informal Systems. Shane from True Story, now Stargaze, and Yeah, then Pablo from All Connect was there. And it was like, whatever. And so we set up and we just decided to hack this out, build smart contracts on it. And we started doing it. And yeah, we were trying to hack it and figure out and tried 3 or 4 different libraries that are broken. And Zachy helped out, recommended Wasmer, which we ended up using. It was a pretty exciting time. And got super excited about this, the idea of actually putting smart contracts on chain and doing it, and went on that full time. So it's been a wild ride. You know, it felt like in the beginning, 2020 was kind of, funny little thing you're doing. And it's, you know, grown over the years. So last year and this year, just seeing more and more demand for it, really uptaking, really turning like, you know, a production. We actually finally got 1.0, which also helps, heavily helps that very much more. But so it's a pretty amazing ride and really, really stoked in that. And I'm looking forward to Cosmosm and I'm looking forward to IBC and really the two of them playing together. And that's really, I think it's awesome to see this in the space, Cosmosm, multiple chains, and then talking with IBC.
That's great. Thank you very much. Maybe I should just spend a second to talk briefly about what Cosmosm is. And I, as one of the most uninformed people, can say it incorrectly and then get everybody else here to correct me. How about that as a method? Cosmosm is a smart contracting platform similar to the EVM that uses Solidity. It uses Rust as the scripting language, which compiles to Wasm. It's also a Cosmos SDK module called Wasm, or WasmD when it's built as a binary that way, which basically is like Geth. So it's written in Go, but it provides this virtual machine space for the Cosmosm contracts to be deployed. And it also provides access to the other pieces of the Cosmos SDK, like the staking module or like Bank, so that within the smart contract, you can do things like ask how many atoms does a user have, or say, does this user exist on this blockchain? And just to reiterate a bit the history, Cosmosm was built during a hackathon from Ethan Frey, and it's now seen wide deployment on a lot of different blockchains for a lot of different reasons. We've seen shared state virtual machines that are sort of like everybody should deploy, a little bit like the way Ethereum is, as well as T-Grade is a project that Ethan, you contribute to, which is DeFi specific, sort of like permissioned Cosmosm, right? Or at least like KYC or compliant. There's ways to sort of make sure that the apps themselves are compliant. And then there's also governance controlled Cosmosm that, you know, we've seen. I think that was actually the point of your first proposal, right? Was to sort of fund some of the development for governance controlled deployment of smart contracts that we've now also seen interest from Osmosis in using.
Great explanation, by the way. Quite good. Rust was the language you use, it compiles down. And so right now, Rust is the only language you can use to write it. There is work in other languages, just to say it will not only be, we have some work in Go. They're working on some Cosmosm script. Some people from Terra are doing that, Rec Terras, and some random guy on the internet is working VLang. If you know V, it's kind of interesting. But anyway, I don't really know who he is, but he's working on it. I've given him a little help. But yeah, we'll have more language side Rust. But yeah, that's basically how it is. It integrates into the SDK. So a great explanation. I'm working on, so it's funny because like I'm working on this thing called T-Grade, which is in one way permissioned. It's like a regular, we don't have it's permissionless actually. It's for regulated DeFi, people opting to whitelist it and allowing that stuff. But we have, you know, a permissionless validator set and permissionless contracts on it. We just allow on top of that. Whitelisting. And this permission solution is a very different one. And I think this came up when talking to the hub is some people want power of some contracts, but they don't want to allow everyone to upload everything there and have 5 million things. There's two good reasons for that. One is you have a focus, right? You have a focus, I guess Moses wants to focus on being an AMM and not 5 million other things. And they don't necessarily want NFTs on there. And the hub doesn't want a million things. They really want to focus on the interchain security, the center of these interchain services. And I think it's great to have that limitation. So you say, hey, we only put on code that people approve. Once it's on there, anyone can run it. It can work like a normal contract. Everything is fine. I think that's a big one. The other one is, and I think this is less true now. Early on, it was more of a protection. So there, you know, we found over the last, you know, year and a half, a number of attack vectors, usually gas vectors, where they're like undercharging heavily, undercharging gas. You know, you can do 10x more work than your gases. And those all involved malicious contracts, pairs of malicious contracts doing things, not normal contracts. So if you prohibit that, you block all those vectors. I think we've blocked all these by now, so it's not really an issue. The last known ones we've had, and we've gone through about five times, we've patched. So latest releases in the WASM D20.023. So I don't think that, but still, you know, it's still a good half. It's a good safeguard. If you don't allow random contracts on there, you avoid huge classes of attack vectors. So, but yeah, usually I think it's more about the product focus, keeping your chain product focused.
Maybe one point of clarification. As far as I understand, there's like two gatings for governance control contracts. One is like the deployment of the contract, and the other is the activation. Just kind of like want that information to be, you know, in the air. Well,
you can do lots of things. I'll kind of extend that. We've separated out when you deploy a contract, it's two pieces. One's uploading code, and the second is instantiating it. In Ethereum, you put the same code every time. If you have 500 ERC20 tokens, they're all uploading the same code every time. There's copying the copy from Open Zeppelin and pasting it again. And because WASM is heavier and allows us to optimize much more, we just basically say you upload the code once and you can instantiate 50 different versions of that same code without uploading the code again. So you pay one heavily time to do that. We pre-compile that code, that WASM code. And then you can say, okay, now I just use that existing one because I know that is actually the official CDB20 based contract version 0.12. And I'm going to use that one. And you can just reuse that same one again and again. Especially if you're launching a bunch of contracts, you can, you know, use a factory contract and just relaunch that code again and again. So the first gating is what code can be uploaded in the chain. That's usually where you start. Beyond that, you can say anyone can instantiate these and anyone can execute them. You could also, when you store it, the government's supposed to store it, they can say, hey, we upload this code, you know, CDB20 based, but we also control only we can instantiate it, right? So we can upload the code, first of all, and then control, hey, only governance can add new CDB20 tokens. Or you can upload the CDB20 code and then decide to allow anyone to mint CDB20 tokens. And that's a choice you can make, not compile time, but that's, you know, when you upload each code, you can set who can instantiate that code.
Is that, I mean, I don't want to get too far into this because this is kind of an aside, but is that a rug pull method where I could upload code that everyone loves and uses and they instantiate it a bunch of times and then I can replace it? Does it replace all their instantiations as well?
Nope. There's immutable. So the code you instantiate is a hash of the code and it's assigned a code ID that's immutable. And what is interesting is that you can't ever replace code. You can replace what code a contract uses. That's a migration we have. So if you create code ID 1, which is CDB20 base, and then you know five contracts use that, they're pointing to QDD 1, you can upload code ID 2, which is malicious CDB20, give all a backdoor to give all money to me. And then I can change that one contract I own, possibly, if you have migration power on it. Depends, you don't need to have that. These are all optional fields. You could migrate that contract to use a new code. So your contract now is using malicious code, but does not affect anyone else's contract. Every contract must one by one migrate to the new code. So definitely they're all independent.
Cool. Sorry. Yeah. I want to get us like on the aside and dig into the stuff. We should raise up a little bit high level. I wonder, so I was thinking, you know, there's these three areas that have been sort of like currently on the table of discussing justifying cause of WASM on the hub. One is to satisfy this product story that Zaki gave a little bit of background to earlier that Lido's on the call to discuss about liquid staking. Another one is the potential to support DAOs. So if you think of the Cosmos Hub as you know, focusing on three verticals, one is public goods, one is interchain services, and one is monetary policies around the atom, that public goods are sort of, you know, public funding of public open source goods like Cosmos DK, Tendermint, CosmWASM itself, that work around having DAOs that focus on this. Like there's been some discussion about making an IBC DAO, make a lot of sense to have on the Cosmos Hub. And the way to support that feature set on the Cosmos Hub is either through the upcoming groups module or potentially through using the DAO smart contracts that have been at use on, I believe, Juno, which could go through the Cosmos deployment. And then the third area, which is why I wanted Chris Goes specifically to join as well, which he says he's coming, but we'll see if he's going to make it or not, is for IBC Lite client upgrades. And I think this is, if I'm not the only one probably who had this mistake, but always thought that CosmWASM was necessary to support IBC Lite client upgrades. And discussing with him yesterday and Charlie, my current understanding is that actually the intention to use WASM as a target for IBC Lite clients, which drastically improves the upgrade story for when, consensus engines make breaking changes and new light clients need to be deployed, that if they were all deployed via Wasm blobs, that it makes an automatic upgrade path, whereas otherwise each chain needs to go through a governance proposal to upgrade all of their IBC connections with new clients. But that my understanding of this was totally flawed, and that IBC would actually have its own Wasm dependency, which would be completely separate from Cosm Wasm and wouldn't use governance gating at all. This was a topic that Ethan Frey, you brought up the other day with me as even just the intention or the design of using Wasm as might not be the best route for upgrades, but was it also your understanding that it would be using Cosm Wasm itself with WasmD client, or that there was benefits to that?
I thought they'd use a Cosm module. I found out recently some PRs are not using it. They're trying to use, I don't know what they're doing, honestly. They're using Wasm VM, which is very Cosm Wasm. It's our go to Rust bindings, very, very Cosm Wasm specific. And they're trying to do non-Cosm Wasm things on it and have their own integration with it. So there's a level of using parts of our code and trying to use them for something else, and they're hitting some errors. So I'm a little confused what they're doing, actually. So if they want to do their own integration with Wasm engine or their own Wasmy something, I think that's totally cool, right? Like totally cool to have their own approach to Wasm, but like using half of a very opinionated stack and not the other half of it. So it just seems a bit odd. Anyway, I'm not really sure what they're doing.
Chris Groves just came in. Just invited you to speak. Chris, did you receive that?
You have to be on Twitter on mobile to do it too. Yep.
Looks hello. Like he's there.
Can you hear me?
Hey there. Did you catch that?
Possibly not. Sorry.
Let's just do an intro for Chris.
That's a great idea. Chris, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, absolutely. I'm really sorry for being late, but I had good reason. And perhaps it will become clear in due time. I am Christopher. I work on a protocol called Anoma now, but my connection to Cosmos is that, like everyone else in the original diaspora, I used to work at Tendermint, and I worked on IBC and still try and help out with it occasionally.
Underselling himself, but was just giving sort of the context of the people invited and the topics with regard to Cosm Wasm, saying that liquid staking is the current sort of like one thread where we've got Zaki and the Lido team here to talk about utilizing it as a DAO interface is another one where, you know, I was very last minute in inviting Jack and wasn't able to get him on. But Sam, you've certainly been doing a lot of work on the groups module and, you know, public goods funding itself. And then the third one I wanted to sort of like erroneously correct myself was that I had always thought that IBC would utilize WasmD or Cosm Wasm in order to support the light client upgrade path, and was just asking Ethan Frey if, because you know, I learned this from you basically at lunch yesterday, Chris, and I wanted to know if Ethan Frey also understood that there was a distinction there. And you showed up in the middle of that. Yeah, I was just wondering if there's anything related to that. I mean, he was saying that he understood you guys had a different sort of dependency plan for that. And I know that you haven't been involved in that planning for a long time, but I think some of the groundwork for that you were around for or laid yourself.
Right. Well, I would like to make the case for Wasm as being basically essential for large-scale Cosmos scaling, in the sense that if there are no Wasm-based light client upgrades, then every single light client upgrade has to go through governance, which means that every time a Tendermint upgrade breaks the light client, which should happen frequently because Tendermint is, you know, beta software, lots of progress still to be made, that the new light client has to be manually switched over by each chain connected to that Tendermint instance over IBC. So that means like n squared upgrades every time we break Tendermint. And n squared is the thing we don't want to avoid. Whereas if we have IBC validity checks, basically header verification and state updates, if we have Wasm header verification, state updates, and IBC like clients, then the when we have a breaking Tendermint upgrade, the old instance can just sign over a new Wasm blob, and the light client can basically replace its own code by validating the old consensus set and old Tendermint like header format, authorize the new Wasm code and swapping it out. So instead of n squared governance proposals, we have zero governance proposals. It's all automatic. That doesn't require, like, it requires Wasm, and it requires, you know, some simple checks to make sure that someone can't make a fake IBC light client that, you know, loops forever or whatever, but it does not require, you know, contract message passing or other parts of complex architecture. So I think it's like relatively low risk, it's an integration point.
And when it comes to sort of assessing the risk of adding new code to a project like the Cosmos Hub or Cosmos Decay Chain, you know, Wasm has often been brought up, or Wasm itself, as a place of potential attack vectors or bugs. And maybe it's worth sort of discussing a bit, like, is that mostly because of the sort of like Turing complete aspect of a general computation environment? And sort of, as Ethan Frey was saying earlier, that most of the attacks we've seen so far were malicious codes, whereas if they were governance gated, you wouldn't see that as much. Or is it something about Wasm itself, where, you know, say if IBC was adding its own dependency of Wasm that was totally separate from this concept of Cosm Wasm or writing smart contracts, does it have the same sort of like risk that we've all been sort of talking about we should maybe be conservative around? Is it a different category?
Should I answer that, or
anybody who feels relevant? I feel like maybe Ethan Frey used that a lot with Cosm Wasm or Wasm, Chris as well, or Sam, Zachy.
I mean, I think it's really the Go thing. So the attack vectors you've seen have actually been SDK bugs, usually under gas metering. So if you allow the Wasm block storage, can it properly store keys, right? Like, are keys properly always and read and write always properly gas metered? And there are cases that were not until 45. And if you don't allow it to actually read and write anything, you don't have that issue, for example, right? So you need a gas meter to execution contract in any case. Any Wasm. And that way you do that, basically you take the Wasm, you inject metering instructions inside of it when you compile it locally. So that solution needs to be done anywhere. And really these issues are basically the integration between the Wasm, how it calls an SDK. And so if you don't allow it to call anything, it's a stateless function, that's one thing. And you probably can put gas metering on a stateless function and not really have any attack vectors.
Chris, I see you clicking the mic button.
I mean, I think Ethan has a much more well-sourced understanding of what the like actual bugs have been than I do, so I can't comment so much there. I would comment in general that I'm not even convinced the current Cosmos Hub has been well-tested against DOS. I think it probably hasn't. There are a lot of gas constants that were set a long time ago, and based on some, you know, kind of random estimations, it's not clear to me that they would hold up against serious either IO spam or state spam or compute spam. Adding Wasm increases the attack surface, yes, but I would just say, like, we need to treat this problem with the rigor that it merits. I don't think it's, you know, blockchains being extremely conservative about what kind of software they run on them. Just because of like unclear technical risk, I think it kind of hampers the long term, like how fast we can make progress. So I would ask, how can we find ways of verifying things so that it's less risky to have more options? That said, I think there is a separate argument for limiting programmability, which is from a different angle, and that angle is economic. So recently, this example twice, including at lunch, please excuse me, but recently people have started minting NFTs on Ethereum, which tokenize entire blocks, as in consuming gas from an entire block, you know, doing nothing useful. They just burn it by reading and writing random things in storage, I think. But mint a ERC-721 NFT, which can then be traded, and in some sense, I guess, corresponds to this block. Independent of the merits or lack thereof of such NFTs, which I don't want to comment on, this has a negative externality, right? Like, it means that block space is not available for other people who wanted to use it to do other things. So I think there is a case for like having blockchains in the world, and certainly in the Cosmos thesis of many blockchains doing different things, having blockchains in the world which are limited in what they can do so that they can provide better quality of service guarantees because other applications can't interfere. And the Hub may be such a blockchain with some, you know, it's unclear to me where exactly that line should be drawn, but should the Hub be supporting arbitrary programmable things? You know, well, at least if the Hub does that, we should consider that what kinds of quality of service and latency, you know, guarantees it can provide, at least in practice, to users will probably change and perhaps suffer. So I think that's one argument to be considered.
It's actually a great segue to maybe Zachy, Kai, and Andre. So is the liquid staking like an application that belongs on the Cosmos Hub? And if so, is CosmWASM the best way to deploy it? Does it open up the door for all sorts of other types of applications? I mean, I think it, you know, could probably be pretty justified, well justified as being on the Hub, but what is it for you all that sort of like determines applications that do or don't belong on the Cosmos Hub?
So yeah, I think I can start here. So yeah. So the thing here is that, you know, having all those features like interchain accounts and liquid staking model and so on, it's like unavoidable to have a cross-chain liquid staking solution. So Lido approach here is, you know, to make it in the most healthy and neutral to the ecosystem way. The best place to, you know, put the head of such a solution is a Cosmos Hub, is of course the Cosmos Hub, because you know, it's like aligned with interchain security approach and so on, and you know, it's like no better place in Cosmos ecosystem than Cosmos Hub for it. To build such a solution, there is need some execution layer, and of course the best way to make it is build it with smart contracts or with CosmWASM. Of course, like it could be integrated in the Cosmos Hub code itself, so in Gaia, but you know, like it doesn't sound like the best approach here.
Yeah, so... it's not the only solution, but it seems to be the most flexible solution that we see, and yeah, so having liquid staking hub as a Cosmos smart contract seems to be like the optimal thing to do from our perspective.
Do you want to maybe just say a little bit about the design for the Atom specifically, and then this kind of next iteration of like liquid staking as a service?
A lot of the design that we're that we have in mind for the ST Atom, for the liquid stake at ASM, it's drawn from our Terra experience. But on the Cosmos Hub, we're going to heavily use the functionality that's added by the liquid staking module that the Iclusion team is working on right now. So if you try to describe it like in easy words, then well, any user will be able to send some atoms to the to our set of smart contracts, and they will receive ST atoms as tokens in return. But also users will be able to send the liquid staking vouchers to those contracts and receive ST atoms in return also. Yeah, so this allows the users not to wait for a long time to unstake their staked atoms if they have them, and to just tokenize their shares and then to send them to the Lido smart contract. Also, in like a bit further perspective, we have plans to make this whole thing, of course, cross-chain, so that other chains could use the functionality on the Cosmos Hub. And use it as a service. Yes,
maybe we're talking a bit also about the sort of like technical architecture of deploying with CosmWASM versus a native module. So right now, my job as part of the Cosmos Hub team is to help coordinate and integrate the releases for Gaia, the code base. And there's currently a few different upstream dependencies. There's IBC is an upstream dependency. The Cosmos SDK is an upstream dependency. Tendermint is an upstream dependency. The IBC middleware router is an upstream dependency. The Gravity Dex is an upstream dependency. And Gaia can't cut a release until all of those dependencies are in sync with each other, mostly because they all have the Cosmos SDK as a common thread. Adding new modules to Gaia makes that release process harder to coordinate. Every time there's a new feature, there's a new application that gets added. So once groups modules get added, that's going to be another one that we have to coordinate. We're going to have to make a new coordination effort for interchain accounts. Auth-Z is another coordination effort that we have. I mean, all the different modules themselves as well are sort of synced into the versions of the SDK. If they're all included in the SDK, they sort of get that release process coordinated on behalf of the SDK team, of course. And one of the things that keeps coming back to me is like, oh man, CosmosM on the Hub is a whole nother repo that I need to make sure is up to date all the time. I either need to make sure there's a team inside of Interchain or a team outside of Interchain that's set up to be able to keep it in sync with the SDK and the other modules to have it released. But one of the sort of like other sides of that coin is that once CosmosM is there, I don't need to coordinate with Lido. I don't need to coordinate with you all on any upgrade ever. You are in control of your own smart contract deployment system. I mean, you'll need to go through the governance process, which means in some ways you'll need to coordinate with the validators, but it's not that you need to coordinate with the release of Gaia, which is then coordinated with the validators, which then goes into an upgrade. It changes the sort of development process of a blockchain itself. And something that we haven't seen yet that I think has been a hot topic recently is the idea of a blockchain that has CosmosM with a single contract deployed to it. And in a way, what we're discussing right now is exactly that. I wonder if anybody has thoughts about that as a general architectural guideline or, you know, rules of thumb for where do you limit your dependencies, or how do you define the scope of what belongs inside of a single code base and what should actually be its own blockchain? You know, I think that a lot of us subscribe to the idea of application-specific blockchains, but there's not like a hard and fast rule for that. There's give and take of what you do include on a single blockchain. They should all have a bank module, for instance. You know, every blockchain is at a minimum, you know, an account balance application. It may also do other things, but like, where does that line rest with things like staking derivatives and CosmosM itself? Maybe Zaki, you haven't spoken in a little while. Do you have some thoughts around that?
So my biggest sort of vision here is right, is like that. I think like one of the most important things to remember here is we don't know what the one right way to build a fungible asset on top of a staking asset is. It's kind of like almost, it's somewhat analogous to like sort of like stable coins, right? Like, or any form, you know, a stable coin. Like, what is the one right way to build a stable coin? We don't know. We are currently living in a world where everybody is going to, where multiple experiments are running simultaneously. I view this as sort of analogous. And so the question has always been, you know, so like, you know, you have something like Terra, which is like one blessed stablecoin architecture on their blockchain, and then an entire economy built around it. The architecture that I've been going for with the liquid staking module is to avoid this like one blessed thing. And so the value that is really important to me is that Atom holders provide the infrastructure on which multiple experiments around what the staked asset, what the sort of high utility staked asset can look like, and they can use the liquid staking module as a primitive for building that. And so that's why I've been so sort of, I've been pushing so hard to have CosmosM on the Hub, because I think not only will there be Lido using their existing expertise in CosmosM development, but also other teams will come up with other assets, and the market will decide.
One of those other assets that are sort of currently under development is Quicksilver, which, you know, approaches the consumption of these staking vouchers via Interchain accounts as its own application-specific blockchain. And one of the other sort of discussions we've had at different points with Zaki or Lido is the idea that, you know, for this product to evolve to consume multiple staking vouchers to be a liquid staking solution for multiple networks at the same time, you know, they would basically implement Zaki's module on their blockchain. They would create these vouchers. They could move over IBC and enter into either of those, you know, liquid staking solutions, the Lido solution or the Quicksilver solution, and be, you know, refunged into a new sort of fungible version of those vouchers. One of the ideas of this as sort of evolving into an application-specific blockchain was potentially using a CosmosM chain, which is secured via Interchain security, as the sort of more like appropriate long-term home for this kind of product. One of the things that are missing for that to really work is IBC queries. But I'd be curious if there's any updates to that thinking or what the possible paths to that are, whether the benefits or drawbacks would be worthwhile, and whether that is like actually a more preferable configuration for a project like Lido, whereas otherwise it's like, you know, it's a product on a product on the hub while there's competing products that are off the hub. Does that make an unfair advantage? Does that actually, the distinction sort of end up being the same at the end of the day?
So, you know, one of the things that I think has been, you know, sort of one of the key points of interchain staking, right, has been how it makes the life of the hub maintainer team a lot easier by simplifying these dependency graphs and isolating the dependency graphs. It sort of goes from like, it's somewhat analogous to like how server administration used to work before Docker, where like everything was running on the same operating system and the operating system is the Cosmos hub, to like Docker, where like you have all these isolated entities that are all running on like a shared substrate, but like are not a shared compute layer, but are not like their dependencies are no longer entangled with each other. And I think that is like a big part of like what we're trying to achieve with interchain security is essentially to take the Cosmos architecture and the and like essentially containerize it so that you can have multiple things with isolated dependency graphs running simultaneously. I think that most likely we will end up in a, like the world that we want to build is a world where, from a user point of view, it doesn't really like they don't can't tell the difference between an application running directly on the Cosmos Hub and an application running in interchain security. From their point of view, it's all run by the same validators. It's all secured by the same economic security, and so I don't think that that is going to end up like being a huge difference. But like one of the things that I think is important about like why pushing for CosmWasm on the hub in the near term is important is like is very important here is because with the launch of various platforms that are happening, the DeFi, like, you know, what I call Cosmos Fi, which is like the Cosmos sort of version of DeFi, which is, I think, distinct and different from like what we have seen on other chains. The Cosmos version of DeFi is sort of exploding right now. And atoms have been providing a lot of liquidity for DeFi in the interchain. And you see that in the sort of reduction in the staking rate now being consistently below the target rate of 67%, and the yield on staking creeping up as a result to compete with that. So, you know, that mechanism is working as intended, but if we, you know, there's like sort of this whole economic structure that that we have like kind of a limited opportunity to reset, which is we could move to a world in which there is a liquid staking asset from Atom that is very successful in the DeFi marketplace of Cosmos. And like once that becomes successful, we can actually start moving away from this model of dynamic adaptive issuance because we no longer have to compete with like the, you know, you can stack the yield of atoms on top of into DeFi rather than having to have an opportunity cost of choosing to stake or sort of deploy your atoms in DeFi. And I think sort of untangling that economic system in the near term is really important for the sort of long-term utility of atoms and the Cosmos hub. And I think that is like one of the reasons to really push forward to get these pieces in place.
I want to follow up on that one. I think you made a very good case there, Zach, and I fully agree that allowing liquid staking for atoms is a very important piece for the Cosmos hub to enable that. And I think that will unlock liquidity and security as well. I also agree with you that unsaid there, but the security of those. So there's a reason wanting to have those liquid staking derivatives on the Cosmos hub and not some random chain, because, you know, the security of that those tokens is kind of related to the chain they're running on, issued on. So I think the case is very strong. You know, that for me is either the Cosmos from the hub or native staking derivatives in the hub, or you have an interchain security zone running Cosmos that's able to issue those, which have the same security as the hub, which I actually think might be a very interesting idea if they can ship that shortly. That you would basically be able to have a Cosmos zone. You wouldn't have to integrate that Cosmos on the hub and everything else, and you'd be able to issue those with the same security as have the hub itself. I'm not sure about what the team's roadmaps are and how people are progressing in various things. I think a lot of these, I just want to go back and say, I think the idea of having a one contract or two contract Cosmos installation is a bad idea. I think there's a lot of dependencies, and I think it's, if you have one to start with, that's fine, but you want to have more. I think it's about what the purpose of Cosmos is. For me, it's you're opening up general purpose smart contracts. If the only reason you're doing that is, hey, the groups module is a year late in shipping and DAO is shipping already. If we stick Cosmos and we can port DAO from Juno, that's pretty lame, honestly. That is not the reason to install it. The liquid staking ones are a much stronger reason, I believe, because that's much more thought out. But that's saying, hey, we want this extra feature somewhere. Can we copy the code? We'll throw this huge dependency, huge complexity, huge architectural and philosophical change to our chain to get this one feature in faster. So I mean, I would say if this is essential, look at seeing if the groups module can ship faster. If there are 3, 4, 5, 6 projects that need Cosmos to go in the hub, then it's a much stronger argument for me. And they actually have teams on these multiple projects we'll be launching over the next year that we're rolling out on Cosmos and maybe one recorder every couple months, which is fine. You don't have to have 5 of them to start, but you have a plan to really integrate that deeply and say, hey, the future of development is there. Hey, we could implement interchain account as a Cosmos module and contract instead of a Go module. And I had this a year ago. So I think you could do a lot of stuff and then reduce a lot of upstream dependencies by doing that. So I think if there's a strong team centered around the hub that has knowledge of Cosmos, that wants to develop multiple projects in Cosmos and wants to integrate them in the hub and has a clear roadmap for that, that seems like a good case for it. If it is, hey, we have this code on some other chain we want to copy on the hub as well, and well, it's on Cosmos, so the fastest way is to copy it over, doesn't seem so strong to me. And that's basically my concern I have is what's the goal. And if it is that second one, maybe a Cosmos shared security zone would be the best approach. So you can just throw a few random things on there and it's fine, and have security. But it's a heavy dependency, it has limitations, does not run on Windows, does not run on M1s. Who knows what these people are running, the exchanges are running with integrations. I know everything goes in the hub, has all these issues, exchange integrations. It's a lot of stuff to move. And if it's just to get one contract from someone else, it seems a low bar. So I think it has to be a huge decision to really say, hey, we're going to focus on it. We want to get the core teams working in Cosmos. I mean, the future development of the hub should be Cosmos. First to Cosmos in parity with the Go development of it. And that's really the new features, not the fundamental layers, but the new features, the new projects we're building on it will be focused around Cosmos mainly, or largely, and not just we're doing two things. And this is the most convenient way right now to ship it quicker because it'll take 2 more months to do it the other way. But yeah, that's my feeling, that we want to have a philosophical choice. And I think it should be made. And I'm not the one to make it either way. And I'm not sure if maybe Billy is the one to make it. Maybe we all are the one to make it. But I think it should be a way of saying not just, is it the quickest way to get IBC DAO on the hub, or is this really the future direction of development on the hub want to take? Which is an open question.
And a great question. I see we've got Chris blinking on and off in speaker. Do you have a response to that?
I guess I just want to, and maybe this has like become clear and I'm just out of the gossip loop, but it seems like there's this implicit thesis that the Cosmos Hub should be very conserved. I think this thesis makes sense, but I also think that we're deciding to be conservative very early if we adopt this thesis now. Sure, the hub has integrations, it takes time to do things. It's easy for me to say all of these things because I no longer have any responsibility for leading the teams and fixing software bugs in the Golang state machine. So I can critique from the peanut gallery, such as it were. Still, the Cosmos Hub is beta software, just because a lot of like nominal dollars in value, which is an odd way to measure things, are flowing through it, doesn't change that. And it's not clear to me that like I think the hub should be conservative when it has found product market fit and when continuing servicing that product market fit, you know, becomes a priority. It's not clear to me that we're there yet. It seems to me like we're not. If we were there, we would have a very clear, like, specific thing the hub which is supposed to be doing, which would inform these discussions. And absent of that, you know, in my mind, some cost of integration difficulties and just explaining to people that the Cosmos app is going to change might be worth the ability to iterate faster. I'm not sure that that's worth giving up. And I'm curious on what's people's, like, what's the general philosophy now? And perhaps why?
I definitely echo that sentiment. I also believe in, like, hardening of the hub protocol, you know, after product market fit has been achieved. With this kind of movement towards services over the last year or so, maybe even less, I feel like we're getting there, but we haven't deployed any services yet. So speaking with Billy prior to this, my feeling is that the crux of the issue is two things. Like, the one is this kind of operational component about supporting the module, teams that would be kind of owning you know, both the module updates and the contracts. So there's kind of pros and cons that Billy mentioned there, you know, in kind of walling off some of the dependencies or operational dependencies, as well as, like, you know, increasing some of them for the support of the module itself. So that's one piece. And then the other is, like, a change in the Overton window around, like, what the hub, you know, how the hub actually, like, gets upgrades. So right now, there is a kind of unified process for building GaiaD and making sure that all the dependencies are tracked, and it's a pain in the ass, but, you know, it does actually kind of indicate a certain pace and organizational structure, and adding CosmWasm changes that. Like, the development process can happen more autonomously, and what the hub can do is actually, like, a little bit, you know, the door is kind of open to other contracts being deployed there, and so there's kind of a judgment call on, like, whether that's good or bad, and yeah, I mean, I'd be interested in hearing people's feelings either way.
I'm actually curious, how would you argue for adding various contracts to the hub as being bad? Like, what would be your perspective?
Just that the hub should be an application-specific chain. You know, it's not the kitchen sink. It should do one thing extremely well.
Yeah, I think that's the general sort of philosophy behind application-specific blockchains, right? Is that limiting the scope of a single blockchain means that the features of that blockchain can be married perfectly to the needs of that blockchain, as well as the users of that blockchain can remain relevant to the direction of it and can, you know, make sure to guide it specifically for a task and not get into sort of the conflicts that we see in shared state virtual machines like Ethereum, where you have, you know, a DAO, the DAO hack, where half of the entire blockchain thinks the blockchain's purpose is something else, and you end up forking the network because you couldn't agree on what is the purpose of the blockchain.
Sorry, I'll let Zaki speak, but you were here early on, Zaki, so maybe you probably answered this question. I'm raising a question. This concept of what the hub is about is what we got from Jay Kwan and Ethan Bluckman, basically. And maybe Zach was involved in those early conversations. I want to hear you talk about it. I think we can question that again, but I think it needs to be a large discussion on that, because they are neither of them really involved in the hub shipping it more. Ethan Bluckman kind of vaguely in shared security stuff, but really they've left this, and I think it's up to the people that make the hub to decide if that is proper, if this makes sense, and so it should be thought about. I think I would not to change it lightly, but I think it should be definitely, you know, brought up to discussion. And I'd love to hear Zaki's philosophy on where that came from.
I mean, my philosophy on the purpose of the hub is mostly that the purpose of the hub was, like, basically unspecified. up until this point. I think there were a couple of things that the hub was very focused on getting right. One was making sure that an Atom token existed, making sure that there were on ramps and off ramps into the IBC network. You know, it was really hard to foresee what the adoption of IBC was going to look like, and it was very important to like sort of set the stage for IBC. One of the other things that we anticipated, and like it still remains to be seen, like how much of this is a factor, is like we anticipated that like hub governance would need to get involved in sort of messy political disputes among chains, but like probably that's not even really the case anymore, because I think there's so much governance activity. But it's really interesting to see, like, you know, if there is a contentious hard fork of a Cosmos chain, you know, how does the community come to make a decision about which token is relevant, whether or not they're just two tokens, are going to be an interesting question, I think, as well. But it was mostly, I mean, I think the biggest thing that is clear, that should be clear to everyone, is that, like, you know, we got a lot of big picture things right in the design of Tendermint, in the design of the Cosmos SDK, in the design of Cosmos from an architectural point of view. But like, we really didn't, I mean, like, you know, so much of the dynamics of the current blockchain industry and space and user base and all that stuff were just completely unforeseeable, you know, 5 years ago when we all started building all of this stuff. So to me, I think that like there is a strong necessity for the hub to kind of find a new role in the real world of like the infrastructure that it like helped build and it built being widely used. So I think that we like basically, you know, the short answer is like we had no idea what any of the stuff would look like 5 years ago in production, and we are just starting to find out now, like, what does it really look like to have a growing permissionless interchain? The other thing I wanted to just sort of bring up is I think like one of the core tensions that exists with shipping Cosm Wasm on the hub is now that, so like as long as there's no Cosm Wasm on the hub, there is only one path to getting a feature into the hub, which is write a Go module, you know. So like I wanted liquid staking for Atom, so I had, you know, we had to like fork the we had to build forks of the existing staking modules and like follow that path. And what the future that we're sort of sketching out here is a future where there's like three possibilities, which is write a Go module, build a Cosm Wasm contract, or launch an interchain staked account. And it may be good that we have three different ways of doing things, because they will all have their strengths and weaknesses, but it's also going to make, on one hand, it might make it easier for people who are like, for developers, because they're like, I have three different options, I can choose whatever option is best for me to bring something to Atom. But on the other hand, it may be like, okay, like, I want to bring something to Atom, like, where do I even start? Do I need to like build a Cosm Wasm centric team? Do I need to build a Go centric team? Do I need to build a team that can launch an interchain staked chain? Do I build on top of one of the existing interchain staked teams? I think this is generally like the current state of affairs in the blockchain space in a lot of ways, which is like developers like frequently complain to me on Twitter about just having too many choices and not being able to figure out which one is right for them.
That's great. I really love this sort of like summary of the perspectives here. We're a little bit over the hour. I wonder if we could spend a couple minutes for questions from the audience. I see Leslie JS has been requesting for a little while. Let me see if I can figure out how to invite you up to ask a question. Did that work? I see it says connecting. Welcome. Do you have a question for us?
Hi. Thanks for the intro. I have a concern is that we have seen like many other L1s that circles and like USDC and you know USDT they have deployed on these L1s. And in terms of the stablecoins, those we have like UST from Terra, but some of the major concern is that from the community is that the UST is like a, let's say, a stable, is a algorithm stablecoin. So for the Cosmos community, if you're any plans, you know, to talk or to onboard like the USDC or USDT stablecoins?
Thanks for the question. I'd prefer to keep questions centered around Cosmosm right now, but just to give you a quick answer, there's a number of stable tokens in the ecosystem and there's new ones coming on every day. I think that one of the first places we're going to see USDC and Tether is coming over the various Ethereum bridges that exist. Kaba also, of course, has an algorithmic stable token. eMoney has an asset-backed stable token. UST is one of many out there. I think we have seen some success, but I think that maybe it has more to do with the Project Terra than anything else. Thanks for coming up. Is there anybody else though for questions specifically around Cosmosm on the hub? I also see Gavin in here, shout out, and Maria. Feel free to raise a hand as well if you're interested. We've got a request from Sam Badilla. Let's see if I can use this. Welcome.
Hey, thank you all for the opportunity to speak real quick. I love this discussion. Everyone here is incredible, and I remain of the developers that are leading the whole environment. I just have one question. Sometimes these conversations can get really, really technical, and for people who are just starting to develop on Cosmos, may get a little hard to follow. But if you were to summarize the thesis as to why Cosmosm is not on the hub yet, what would that summary be for many of us to be able to walk away with that idea of like, it is not because of X?
Great question. I think that for anything to make its way onto a public decentralized network, it needs someone who's willing to fight for it. And I'd say that my opinion, the reason we haven't seen it on the hub yet, is that there's been nobody who's been willing to fight for it consistently. Maybe it's because they didn't have incentives to fight for it. Maybe they wanted to fight for it, but they just had other things to do, or maybe there wasn't a good enough reason to fight for it. But when it comes to the way Cosmos has been developed up to date, I'd say that that's sort of like a general framing of what you see gets made and what you see that doesn't. Anybody else have an opinion about that?
I do want to just mention, maybe this is what Ethan was going to say, but Cosmosm just hit 1.0. And so that was a milestone that we were kind of holding out for before even having this conversation, really.
Yeah, I think it's a major point. I think only October this year was actually stable, and we recommended people to put on mainnet. So the hub should be more conservative than, you know, throwing it first of everything. The other thing I want to mention is, I was, you know, when I got to Lisbon, I was like, oh, cool, you know, going to the hub, maybe there. But I felt the other reason I think hasn't gone forward is I think it's felt like a lack of interest in support, or this, the hub didn't do smart contracts as a mantra. As like sort of this taken for granted, this, you know, oh, how doesn't do smart contracts? How doesn't do smart contracts? And I've heard that so many times. I brought Cosmosm a year and a half ago, and yeah, we don't need that. It's not in the roadmap. It's not like, oh, we need to get to 1.0. I never felt that. I felt like the hubs and do smart contracts is too much for it. So that was this like at least philosophy. And that's why I said that should be questioned or decided to accept that or not. But I think this is a much more philosophical question I felt around the hub was the hub doesn't do smart contracts. The hub should be minimalistic. And that was, I felt, the reason that no one pushed for it. Like, I've been pushed for it because of that.
Yeah. And I would basically, I'm basically here to basically say the hub has to find a way to be at the center of the liquid staking world. And I don't see, I see Cosmosm as the best way for the hub to be at the center of the liquid staking world. And I think that should be the motivation for embracing Cosmosm on the hub.
Oh, I'm really sorry. I just removed you while you were asking a follow-up question. Let me see if I can invite you back. We got you back. I'm also going to add Gavin as a... Oh, I already added. Welcome.
So I'm kind of curious to know, it's more than just about the hub being the kitchen sink. Are there, you know, part of the thesis behind the hub being as simplistic as possible is to ensure like maximum security, but also we're now trying to like balance security with utility, because the hub needs to earn its place as if it wants to be like have a central role in the Cosmos ecosystem. So kind of what are the, but I might have missed this as well. I was kind of in and out of the conversation. What are the potential risks that are involved in having Cosmos and smart contracts for the hub?
I mean, we talked earlier about sort of especially permissionless smart contracts, the maybe broader attack vectors, but that's pretty well managed when they're governance based. Also asked a question just for if there's anybody who has the expertise to sort of say, is there something specific to WASM itself that has like, you know, potential dangers, you know, the same way that you could say like, does Go have more 0 days than Rust or something like that? Is there something about WASM just as a piece of code on the hub that introduces complexities that should maybe be well-minded? And I think, I mean, this last question as well sort of also gets to this other potential debate, which is, you know, where are we putting our emphasis and our support and our funding even, you know, in terms of engineering and development? Is it about pushing the SDK to have new features which are exciting, that, you know, we're an SDK user. The Cosmos Hub is you know, part of the development process of improving the blockchain via the SDK? Or are we part of the sort of development process of smart contracts, and that the future of what the Cosmos Hub can do is part of that sort of engineering endeavor and ladder? And those are actually, you know, those are different ladders, and they have different, you know, processes, they have different features, they have different, I'm sure, even cultures, you know, like it's changing in some ways, you know, what the consumption of technology is at the hub level. Is there anything else I'm forgetting from anybody else about the risks that we talked about earlier, or that aspect of sort of the philosophy of consuming technology?
Yeah, we did go into this pretty extensively, so I don't want to harp on it. I've heard arguments made that CosmWASM is actually in some ways one of the safest Cosmos SDK modules to add, because security has just been a concern from the start, and WASM has, you know, exceptionally high guarantees around what's passed within the virtual machine and outside. I did want to just comment on the last piece. Was like, I mean, I'll kind of put my cards on the table. I do think that CosmWASM should be on the hub. I have for a long time, and you know, for a multitude of reasons. I just think that the programming model and flexibility and development cycle is you know, ergonomic and quite nice. But I also think there's something to be said for like, there's actually a really rich emerging culture around CosmWASM that, you know, the hub played a central role in, and I feel like that's actually not, it's like a pretty good reason to deploy it, like to be part of that culture and to like bring, kind of invite some of that enthusiasm into the development process. Like the hub has been kind of like slow and methodical for a while, and we're like finally getting to the point as a kind of multi-entity ecosystem where we can execute a little bit more efficiently and do some like interesting things. That I don't know, we can run experiments a little bit more effectively. So I don't know. That's a kind of a big pull for me, is just to, yeah, to be kind of part of that like wider network, where there's new IBC protocols launched, and I don't know, like very kind of nuanced like cross-chain DAO interactions and things like that. You know, not even just DAO, but like, you know, wholly new cross-chain messaging protocols that you know, we want to work with Confio and others on. That's a big pull for me.
Thank you, Sam. We've got Sam. I cut you off for your last question. Let's make this the last one, though. I'll add you back to do your follow-up question. Thank you for that question, Gavin.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Hey guys, I just wanted to ask a quick follow-up question, more from the organizational side of things. I'm wondering how siloed each hub is in Cosmos, as in how much interaction and collaboration happens across the hubs. So for example, for this entire discussion about doing CosmWASM on the hub, I wonder how much some of the core developers of Juno or even DAO have been involved in helping some of the people in this space to work through some of those challenges that perhaps might have been addressed or are being addressed by Juno at this time?
I would say that all the core development work on Juno, not contract development work, such is done by Confio. They just rebrand it basically. So it's WasmD with a few tweaks on it, a fork on it. But the actual blockchain of Juno is more or less what we built in Confio. What they've done successfully is build out a huge developer ecosystem around it and have lots of developers building programs on it, which I think is very successful. But in terms of infrastructure-wise, I think it's interesting to learn from them there, Dada, but infrastructure-wise, it's just Confio's work.
And to clarify, Confio is Ethan Frey on the call right now, who we work very closely with. If you go back to that 2020 proposal, he was looking for funding to work on CosmWasm and said, but it looks like there might be some funding from the ICF coming, which we are happy to support. We think it's such an important project, whether or not it's on the hub. You know, it's obviously been valuable across the ecosystem. So there is a lot of cross-entity coordination there. But as he sort of said, it's not that we would be able to really benefit from all the smart contract engineers that exist around Juno. The sort of engineer requirements there are at a layer lower. We have been working a bit with Archway and talking to them about what their sort of like support process is. And they use engineers at Tendermint Inc. Freudy, I think, has been doing some work with them, making sure that their WASM is up to date with the SDK. But that in general, I think that a lot of that work, yeah, is been serviced traditionally from Confio. But that is, as Ethan said earlier, to say not necessarily an ideal configuration. And that, you know, if the hub team here at Interchain, who's one of the primary contributors, wants to really support a successful CosmWasm on the hub, we need to either hire and train internally Golang engineers who can keep WASM up to date with the SDK, or secure partnerships with teams who can really provide that. Lido, we discussed last week, maybe that's something that they'd be able to help support. It's definitely sort of something that I really want to nail down before committing to the specific release or anything like that, because it does have such a large impact on the ability to ship future updates. Cool. So I'd like to call that. Is there any closing remarks from anybody that you'd like to make? The only other sort of thing I'd like to say is I would love if anybody would like to continue this conversation, that we do so on the Cosmos Network forum. That's forum.cosmos.network. There's a post there where I outline sort of the premise for this discussion, listed everybody's names and some of the questions that we've discussed today. I'll be monitoring that. And I know that it's a really great place for sort of long form and thoughtful discussion. So I'll be trying to write up a little bit of a summary from this call as my first reply. But really encourage everybody on the call now or in the audience who wants to push this further that we were able to do it there so that we also have a historical record for it.
Also, my understanding is that that Lido or maybe Zaki and Lido might be doing a hub proposal around this. I don't know if you have details on that, but might be a good place to plug if so.
Yeah, I mean, this is also multi-phased sort of discussion, right? It's CosmWasm on the hub, which enables other things, which will later need to go through its own sort of governance, whether it's a signaling proposal or whether it's actually the governance proposal with the code itself that I imagine will be many more sort of sub-decisions and discussions. Cool. Well, everybody, thank you very much for joining. I look forward to continuing the discussion and working with everyone to push this ecosystem forward and this possibility of CosmWasm on the hub.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was CosmWasm on the Cosmos Hub, a fireside chat recorded on Wednesday, February 16th, 2022. This episode of The Ether is brought to you by Orbital Command, a community validator on Terra dedicated to educating, expanding, and promoting the Lunatic community. Follow Orbital Command on Twitter using the link in the show notes to receive regular threads on Terra protocols and yield strategies, news, resources, and Twitter space discussions. You can also support their community efforts by considering them next time you're delegating or redelegating your Luna. Find out more at orbitalcommand.io. This episode of The Ether is also brought to you by LuArt. LuArt is the first gamified NFT platform built on the Terra network. LuArt provides a seamless minting and trading experience, all while earning you rewards just for being a user. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the community in the Discord server for the most up-to-date news and announcements regarding all the hot new NFT launches, platform upgrades, and new projects hitting the secondary marketplace. Are you ready to put your helmet on and join the movement? Find out more at luart.io. Terra Spaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. waking up like a basement dweller. Stepped out the door and heard racists yelling. 2020, what an ugly shit show. Staring at the fucking Rickroll from the get-go. Looking outside, the whole state's on fire. The fuck do you expect when you embrace the liars and replace the writers with AI just like us? Emaciated models killing bright birds. First in, last out, picture me rolling. The worst time to cash out, so what you holding? The Merc's gonna cash cow, country stolen. Drooling over chicken like the goose is golden. Trying to be soulful, spitting that molten lava from the bottom of the caldera. I'm hot and gonna put it in a bottle and offer it to the god who hit the gas full throttle, blasting off in a rocket.
The many people who will see things happen to them that are in their favor. So someone's looking over me. That's a fascinating phenomenon when that happens. And when you analyze those situations, what you find is that we as humans simply have a profound inability to understand statistics and probability.
Stitching these writings, living that life like, who would have guessed you turn out this nice, right? Avoiding stress, that's the motherfucking secret. Print that shit on a motherfucking leaflet. I'm just an asshole hooked on the bricks. Looking at the rectangles, damn, they kinda thick. We've gone through a whole lot of kings here. Cutting off heads just to bring cheer. Getting all fired up, Tiger King, line them up. When you'd give an arm and a leg just to try the junk on some first time buyer's luck. Alexa, set a reminder and remind me to buy a bunch. And put your hands up if you fuck this year. And keep them in the air if you're picking up the spare. And put your mask on just to go outside. Looking at the planet about to downsize.
So climate change will not make Earth. I live in New York City, where in our harbor we have the Statue of Liberty. If you melt the water ice that's on land, the ocean level will rise to reach her left elbow. That takes out all of New York City. And basically every other coastal city that we've spent thousands of years building since the dawn of civilization.
Spaces.